0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we reach the end of yet another big week of European action. Rangers leave Nice with a sensational 4-1 win to pretty much secure a playoff spot in the Europa League. No such luck for Hearts, who lose against Cercle Bruges, and Lauren Shankland's woes continue with a missed penalty. As for Celtic, back to domestic football this weekend, with Brendan Rodgers says people should learn their lessons and not write off Arnie Ingles too early. Joining me tonight, a man who writes everyone off too early, Hugh Keevan. Scott Allen's alongside him, and we're back ready to go for another big weekend. Hugh?
Well, people will try to diminish Rangers' achievement last night by pointing out the very obvious deficiencies that their opponents had, but that would be wrong and shouldn't be allowed to happen. It was an astonishing result, and it also sees Philippe Clement equal Steven Gerrard's record of having gone 7 away games in a row in Europe without losing any of them. So, big night for Rangers, and yet tomorrow, if Celtic beat Ross County at Celtic Park, they go 14 points ahead of Rangers. What a weekend, Scott.
Yeah, I think for me last night, and a fantastic performance from Rangers again in the Europa League. It's now, can we see them take that to the domestic league? Because we just haven't seen it. It's chalk and cheese week in, week out, but you can't take away the performance last night. A fantastic performance.
And I have to say, the season of goodwill is upon us. The festive season. We've got the Christmas tree in the studio. Yep. The lights are on. And I have to, this is more for people in the live stream, obviously. What about Scott Allen's commitment to the cause? He's come dressed up as Jude Law from The Holiday.
Yeah.
Look at that. Seriously. Have you ever seen The Holiday, the Christmas film?
No, I've not seen it.
Seriously, look at the live stream. You're telling me.
Right.
That's, he's got the round glasses on this week. I've never seen them before. Trust you to suit them. You suit everything. He's got the hair. That is uncanny.
He's also,
take the compliment,
in all my years of experience, he's also the only footballer ever to bring in his own notebook, his own pen, and he's writing things down. Gordondale's been here for 100 years, and I've never seen him write anything down.
Honestly, Jude Law and Hugh Keevans, what a combo. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So come on, Rangers fans, you cannot be passing up this opportunity. I do not recall the last time you were on here with a proper positive, happy reaction to a football match. That's the way this season has felt. I'm sure it's felt pretty long already. So what did you make of last night? Take it away. How good was it? Did it surprise you? I'm sure it probably did. Then if we dig a bit deeper, Egerman, is that him then? Is he going to lead the line for a bit now? He was in place of Cyril Dessers. Some changes to the team, of course. No James Tavernier. Can it be a springboard? Is it a sign of things to come? Or are you not willing to go that far yet? Is it just a one-off night that you're happy to celebrate and then build on it potentially in the future? But whatever it is, let's do it now, because it's been a fairly predictable post-match routine on this show recently, Rangers fans, where you whinge about the performances. Surely tonight is not one of those nights. Give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers did his press today. He said, look at Paulo Bernardo, look at Nicholas Kuhn. People who are writing off Arnie Ingles should learn their lessons. He's fully confident that the £11 million man, as he's often referred to, will be absolutely fine despite a perceived slight dip in form at the moment. What would you do to the team this weekend, though? Because in the last 5 games, Brendan Rodgers has only made one change to his front department, if you like, midfield and attack. Just one change. Adam Ida came in against Kilmarnock. Is it maybe time then that Bernardo plays and maybe Ida gets another start? Maybe Luke McCowan gets a start at home to Ross County. Is it time you saw more of Alex Vaye? Whatever you want to suggest to us, do it right now. 0141 951 1025. And loads of other fun that you want to preview. Clydebank v Bucky Thistle,
well,
in the Scottish Cup.
Well, I'll get round to that later, but I know that Brendan Rodgers would value my advice.
Oh, I'm sure.
When it comes to picking his team for tomorrow, so I've chosen a team for him. And there are 8 changes from the starting 11 in midweek.
If he makes 8 changes, you will moan that he's made too many changes.
Yeah,
totally.
I think you have done that already.
He has done it.
I am the hypocrite. I no time to waste. Do you want to hear my team?
Yes,
why not? Go on.
Schmeichel in goal. Back four, Andy Ralston, Scales, Trusty, Vai. In the middle, McGregor, Paulo Bernardo, McCowan. Up front, Forrest, Ida, Louis Palmer.
Even by your standards, this is remarkable. If there were to be 8 changes tomorrow, you'd moan about it. And I've just got this notion that Brendan Rodgers is driving home. He's just turned on the Lennox Town Christmas lights, I think.
Oh.
At 5 o'clock. And he's just quickly pulled over, got his notepad out, and just taken Hugh Keevan's suggestion down. Celtic fans, what a way to ruin your Christmas that would be. Anyway, 01419511025. Hearts fans, what is going on with Lawrence Shankland? He got a bit of stick more than that from the travelling fans last night after missing that penalty. Again, the performance level's not really a huge issue, but in front of goal, having some worries with that missed penalty last night. And then on to the weekend, Scott Allen's got all things Hibs usually covered off. Motherwell fans, how are you thinking that one's going to go? Plenty of other big games. We did allude to it there, the Scottish Cup, if you're into that romance. That's the family going to go, the Bankies?
Oh yeah, yeah. The season ticket holders are all ready to go. You know, there are so many subplots this weekend. I mean, if Hibs get something at Motherwell, and they have to have taken confidence from the 3-3 draw with Aberdeen midweek. If they take something at Motherwell, then Hearts go into the game against Aberdeen on Sunday, bottom of the table.
I think Hibs' biggest problem is who's going to play in goals.
Yeah.
If that's
you, your broken wrist would be an upgrade potentially.
Would you go for number 3, Max Boric?
I think he brings Bursic back in. I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Even though he's hopeless?
Yep, but I think he does. I think that's the big worry for me in terms of Hibs. See, not having a number one goalkeeper who you get full trust in, that is maybe playing a part in why they're so poor defensively at the moment in time.
Plenty of time to get to that. And speaking of Easter Road and Hibs, actually, big night, well, a huge night for Scotland women's national team. It's the first leg of their Euro playoff final against Finland. They go to Helsinki on Tuesday, so hopefully they can get part of the job done tonight. 01419511025. Let's get stuck in on last night's action. Scott Allen, what do you make of Rangers and their split personality this season?
It's just, I did say last week that you can't, when you're comparing Rangers to domestically, you just can't. They seem to have a winning formula in their games. I think you touched on it as well. People were talking about Nisi's frailties. For me, I thought Rangers were excellent. Igemani, I think when you were talking about a coming out party, that was it for me. I think there's games in a season, especially when you're at a new club and you're trying to find your feet, that it just clicks for you. And that, hopefully, I think the Rangers fans will think that's a springboard. Dessers comes on, misses that huge chance again. Igemani, for me, looks like he's earned at least 3-4 starts on their own. The manager to show that confidence in him.
Colin is a Rangers fan, first through on the phones. How do you feel about last night, Colin?
Probably a bit confused, to be honest with you. It's just, I've been calling for his head for quite a while. But, you know, there's nothing I like more than a guy who's an underdog, who's not going to go without a fight. And he was kicking every ball on the touchline. And his tactics last night is what he's trying to do. It's what he did with Bruges. He did it against PSG and Man City with Bruges. He did it with Genk as well. But in the Scottish League, when defences are making mistakes at the back, they've still got 8 or 9 players behind the ball, so it's not working. And Brendan Rodgers is getting the better of him because he very quickly had the intelligence to press right up onto their goalkeeper, which nullifies his press. But I'm just feeling, we had it with Gio and now it's come in, and I just, honestly, it's total confusion. It's just like the players look like they're playing for him. Only one negative, which was Dessers coming on. Ali McCoy says he looked like a guy without confidence. I disagree with that, because he's been missing chances like that since day one. Even when he had confidence, he needs 7 chances to put a goal. He's not good enough. Tavernier as well. I know he's wanting to give everybody a goal, but I just hope that he notices his own team and he gives them a chance to gel over a few games, and he doesn't in the next game start rotating and shoot himself in the foot. Give the boys a chance that played so well the other night.
Let's do something rare when it comes to Rangers this season, Hugh, and start on Colin's positives. I'm going to guess you didn't see it coming last night. No. Collins called it confusing.
Yeah.
What did you make of it overall?
As I say, it's an astonishing result. Scottish team scores 4 goals against a French team away from home. There is no way of looking at it other than in a positive fashion. Sunday, and this is where Colin's word confusion comes into play. Sunday, you're at Perth, noon kickoff. Not the most inspirational surroundings you could find. And Rangers, as we saw last weekend, are capable of plumbing the depths as well as hitting the heights. So Sunday in Perth will tell us what impact the Riviera has had on Rangers, because they ought to go there and, quite frankly, take St Johnstone apart.
The confusing bit, Scott, and Colin's alluded to it. I keep hearing this. This is now the most repeated theory out there in Scottish football, that it's actually really simple. It's because Rangers are just better when teams don't sit behind. Rangers are better when teams are open, when teams don't sit back. Is it that simple? Because this has been going on a while now. This is not a Philippe Clement issue. Colin brought Giovanni Van Bronckhorst into it. You could even point to the fact that even although Steven Gerrard eventually got there domestically, there was still a long time when their European performances were better than their domestic performances. So it's three different managers, it's three entirely different sets of players. So is it just that simple? You just say,
it's different football though. Thursday night compared to, so Thursday night's game is going to be completely different to Sunday's game. That's, we all know.
And that's what I mean. Is that why? Is that it? So if you sit back against Rangers, they'll struggle, and if you open up, they won't. That black and white. Because I mean, Celtic obviously open up against them.
If you're sitting back as a team, and everybody's went one up against Rangers most of the time this year, and Conor Barron drops back in to make it a free, they don't move anybody as a team. So he'll drop back in. Whereas if that's in Europe and Conor Barron does that, the whole team will go up and press, and then when he does receive it, he can get out the other side of the pitch quite quickly. In a domestic game, most teams, they won't then press, so Conor Barron's left with the ball, they've not moved the opposition team at all, and it then when they do try and move forward, it's easier as a team to press from inside their own half. When it comes to domestic league football, you need to have players who can play in the tight areas, have the combinations. Rangers haven't really showed us that domestically, but when they're playing in Europe against a team who's looking to be on the front foot, they can catch them out, because they do have players who can travel with the ball. They've got Cherny then freed up a lot more, and guys getting in behind, they're picking up on teams' mistakes. So for me, a lot of it is down to, can the players adapt to playing against a team who's sat behind the ball?
Going back to Colin's word, confusion. I was down in Brighton seeing my grandchildren last Saturday, and we were watching the scores come in, etc., etc. And then a pal of mine called me and said, somebody has just called Super Scoreboard from inside Ibrox while the game is going on, and you can hear every word because there's no atmosphere at all. Now, how do you go from that to taking Nice apart in France and scoring four times? And as you say, Dessers had the simple opportunity to make it 5-1 and he missed it. So the 4-1 actually flattered Nice. So Colin's word is absolutely perfect. Confused.
Colin, do you think, are you the type then that gets a bit excited about this and thinks that maybe this is the start of something to turn? Or are you the opposite? Well, you're one of these, are you panicking already about Sunday?
I'm a bit worried about it, because I was on a few weeks ago and I did say that I studied these tactics in Bruges, all the analysts and everything, and it's the word press, right? It's no Ange Postecoglou's press. It's relying on what Scott was saying there, moving the team about, getting them to make mistakes at the back. Whereas Ange Postecoglou's press was, if it wasn't right up on you, it was fast-passing football through you. This is totally different. It's just like he was saying there, he's got to tweak something, because the Scottish teams are lapping it up, and even Brendan Rodgers has caught him out. I mean, Brendan's an intelligent guy. I mean, I've had to eat my words with him as well. I mean, he's impressed me this year. I hate to say that, but when he was playing against us, he quickly realised that if he pushed Kyogo right up, then we haven't got a press. So it's just, there's nowhere for him to go. He needs to tweak something, and he needs to stay with the same team. And I'm trying not to get excited because I wanted him out. But it's like I said, see if a guy goes down fighting, I admire that. You know, I can't, you know, you can see him fighting for his job. You know, he's determined. So So what are you supposed to do?
What a roller coaster of emotions this is. Colin doesn't know if he's allowed to be happy because he still thinks
he's bang on about,
because he wants the manager to be sacked.
He's bang on about, he's got to allow this team to grow. He's not really done that this season. I think that's a big part of it.
So is Egerman the embodiment of that?
Yeah, that's got to be a springboard for his season. He showed quality last night. Yes, there was. He's not the finished article at this moment in time, but that's when you got to make the most of your squad. He showed something last night when Philippe Clement needed it most. Dessers came on, didn't take his chance, so he's got to stick with him. He's got to give him a couple of games.
Yeah, at the very least.
Yeah,
he's earned the right to start at St Johnstone on Sunday.
Rangers fans
least.
Would explode if that team line came in on Sunday
and he's not
and
there.
It was Cyril Dessers, wouldn't
he? Yeah, because that would then take confusion to a higher level.
And the squad, Hugh. The players notice these things as well.
Yeah.
What else can I do? You get a starting team.
Yeah. And, you know, Dessers, we've all had our say, and he's Marmite, and some love him and some don't. And but again, he comes on and he misses a pinch right away. So Igamani has deserved the start at Perth on Sunday. And anything other than that is just contrary behaviour on the part of the manager.
I just had a message in here as well though, Scott, just to test the theory. And this is what I meant about it clearly is a contributing factor, the difference between sort of parking the bus, if you like, domestically Europe. But Aberdeen didn't sit in against Rangers at Pittodrie.
No.
Hearts came to Ibrox and
dominated,
narrowly dominated possession. Yep. Every time Celtic play Rangers, it's not like they sit in. I wonder if it's too easy to break it down and say the only thing Rangers struggle with is breaking down teams that sit in, and as long as the game's open, Rangers will be fine. When Aberdeen, Hearts and the numerous Celtic games,
it's a large factor, Gordon. A lot of that also comes down to the profile of the players they have in the sort of games. There's players in the Aberdeen side at this moment in time who I feel would make an impact in the Rangers side. That's just obviously my opinion. So yeah, I do feel when they play against teams who park the bus, as we would say, they do struggle, because they struggle to move the ball really quick in the midfield areas when it's tight.
But Kilmarnock didn't sit back, and they beat Rangers as well. You know, so confusion is the word of the night. Thank you, Colin.
Well, it's a good moment to pause for breath. Give us your thoughts on it, Rangers fans. 01419511025. We will hear from Philippe Clement and more of your opinions on it after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here looking back on last night's European action, building up to the weekend. So let's get stuck back in with Cameron, who's a Rangers fan down in London. How's it going, Cameron?
Yeah, well, thank you yourself.
All good here. How would you sum up last night? The first Rangers fan said he was confused, which maybe does sum up. How are you feeling?
On the same line, it was bizarre, I thought. But I just think there's such a difference between, you know, I've really struggled watching Rangers in the league this year, and obviously I watch a lot of the games on TV because I'm based in London. But then watching them in Europe has just been, it's like watching two different teams. And for me, I guess my opinion is that it's the style of football. And I know that the guys were saying it's maybe not just that, and with our other managers have managed to do all right. But yeah, I'd say eight or nine teams in the Scottish Premiership play against us with a low block. Celtic have worked out how to break that down, whereas we haven't. And then I think that points to the front three, and we're relying on goals from our two wingers at the moment. I hate to say it because he seems like a nice guy, but I think Dessers is the one that just really has to go now. He's had so many chances, so many opportunities to prove himself, and he just hasn't done it.
I mean, Scott, on one hand, we would always say we are quite knee-jerk here, but when you've seen the size of that shift, you know, from Dessers to Egerman, is it only right that he does get that jersey for a while?
He's got to be given the chance, yeah, I think. He's definitely earned that, especially with the performance last night. Also, coupled up with the fact that Dessers comes on, gets a chance again and can't take it. I think that's been the main problem with Rangers fans. He gets so many chances and he misses the ones that are glaring. So for me, he's got to be given a run of games to show what he can do, especially building on the confidence in his performance last night. In terms of comparing it to Celtic and how they've found a way, it purely comes down to the ability of some of the players and the system that Celtic play in, the tight areas, it's all worked to drag players in a low block out of position to then get it wide, balls across. You've got guys like Kyogo's movement, so it's easy to compare it to Celtic, but you can't compare it because the level of player for me is superior at this moment.
The Rangers fans always say that Clement sees a different game from them, and that will be shown to be the case if he puts Dessers in on Sunday and leaves out Igermani. What do you have to see before you know that's the correct thing to do?
So is it completely separate, Cameron, in the sense that all the joy, all the positivity from last night, that doesn't make you even 10% more confident about Sunday, because it's that different, it's that separate?
Yeah,
because we've done it a few times this season where we've had a brilliant result on a Thursday night and then we've come back on a Sunday and been terrible, and it's been horrible to watch. And I think you were saying about Clement there, the big point about him, in his head, he thinks he's got till the end of his contract to prove that he's a good Rangers manager. The problem is, with that attitude in Scotland, it just doesn't fly with the Rangers fans.
Celtic won, Cameron, as you know, Celtic won on Saturday with 14 points ahead of Rangers. Psychologically speaking, that's got to weigh heavily on the minds of everyone associated with Rangers when the kickoff comes in Perth, because 14 points, and it's not Christmas yet. So they are under severe pressure come 12 o'clock on Sunday to make sure that they aren't two teams. You call the situation bizarre. The caller before you called it confusing.
Yeah.
It can't be confusing on Sunday. It is perfectly straightforward. If Celtic are 14 points behind and Rangers drop any more points in Perth, then Philippe Clement, it will be as if Nice never happened.
So again, then it's separate, Cameron. You don't think last night buys Philippe Clement time per se, because that gets wiped out ultimately if it doesn't go well this weekend?
No, and I think you'll agree, lots of Rangers fans have short-term memories. And, you know, the problem is they've got to do domestically. Ultimately, European success is great. You look back on the season we got to the final, that was amazing, amazing journey for all of us. But it was still looking back at the league and going, right, well, we lost to Celtic. And that was, I would say, the most important thing. And ultimately, you've got to look at what's success for Rangers. Success is the next stage, is winning the league, getting into the Champions League. And if you come first in the SPL, you automatically get that. Whereas the last few seasons, we've got, you know, we've got to that point at the qualifier and choked. And so we need to, you know, we want that certainty of, right, we've come first in the league, we're getting Champions League football next year. That helps with the financial side and all the business side and all that side of it. That helps with getting players. That helps with... And so that's why, I guess, in the mind of a Rangers fan and to me, that, you know, the league is so important.
Yeah, we live in the capital city of bragging rights here. And Celtic have utterly dominated Rangers for the last 13 years with one blip when Steven Gerrard won a title. The Rangers fans, you're quite right, Europe is a kind of luxury item. But they're fed up, absolutely fed up being in Celtic's shadow. And therefore, that is important. And Philippe Clement has been here long enough to know how important it is. But I repeat, if Celtic beat Ross County on Saturday, 14 points ahead of Rangers. If Rangers drop anything in Perth, just forget the league. It's gone.
The individual, you know, players though, Cameron, and I wonder if that's a bit different in terms of linking Europe and domestic football. Take Igermann as an example. You're seeing something there that does excite you, that he, you know, he can sort of kick on and continue to improve?
No, 100%. But I think, you know, that first chance as well, you were suddenly like, oh God, we've got Dessers in disguise here, when he choked it and he fiddled with it. But then he was brilliant after that. I think there is definitely an attitude and a mentality problem with the players as well. You know, we're seeing such Jekyll and Hyde when they're playing in Europe, and you can't, I don't believe you put all the blame on the manager for the performances, but there's the saying in England of, you've got to do it away in a cold night in Stoke or whatever it is. You know, in Scotland, you've got to be able to do that. And if you don't have a squad that can do that, then, you know, there's real no success in the eyes of the Rangers fans.
Cold Sunday lunchtime in Perth, yes, as the phrase would go. I suppose, Scott, this keeps happening. Saw it last night. Saw it in some of the previous games where we always talk about the eye test. You watch the game, your eyes tell you Nice were not having a good evening. I think that is very, very clear. However, that list that Hugh referenced, seven away games, this can't be an accident. It can't be that all Rangers go and turn up and they just, you know, their opponents are always under strength. They're always making changes. They're always having a nightmare. Nice. Again, the eye test is there. Yes, Nice did not play well last night. I think everyone would acknowledge that. But Nice, Olympiakos, Malmo, Dinamo Kiev, Benfica, Real Betis and Sparta Prague, seven in a row of those undefeated. That's too many, isn't it, to just always put it down to those things?
No, they have a formula in Europe that seems to work for them. I think it's easy to say, yes, Nice were poor last night, but Rangers capitalised on it. They punished them and they seen out the game very comfortably. My feeling towards the Europa League games with Rangers is I always feel there could be a performance there, and that's because of obviously the list that you've just rhymed off there. So ultimately, though, it comes back to the domestic game.
You don't yet feel that, you don't have that confidence domestically?
No, so now looking ahead to Sunday, would I expect Rangers to go there and win? I couldn't be certain with that, no.
Or certainly not as convincing.
No, not as convincing. But for me, the biggest test coming up is the League Cup final for Philip Clement. That's when you're going to see, does he have something that can combat how Celtic play? I know last season in the Scottish Cup final, he did completely change his tactics, and Rangers played a lot deeper and did frustrate Celtic at times and could have nicked it here or there. So will he come up with something? That's going to be a huge game in terms of his Rangers career for me.
Is Perth similar to Nice in any way? No. Not quite.
No.
Never mind. We move on. With no disrespect to
there's an E in both names.
To the people of Perth. Thank you to Cameron. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, the Rangers manager. Says it was the best display of the season and hopes that can kickstart their league campaign.
If we would have scored more goals, then it was really close to perfection. We still had really good chances that we didn't finish in the right way, but I saw a really impressive performance. The synergy with the fans was amazing today. I hope we can get that also back domestically, but it starts with the performance. So if the fans go behind the team and they believe in it and they see the positive things today, it will create also a lot of belief and positivity. I'm not somebody who starts to calculate before a group stage, and this system is already quite special. So we didn't do that in advance.
Jordan is on the other line. How are you, Jordan? What did you make of last night?
Evening, Gordon. Evening, Hugh. Evening, Scott.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. No, not bad, not bad. My point was, basically, it's been brought up in the past few weeks. If you had a job and you said to your work, I can only perform on a Tuesday and a Thursday, but I cannot perform on a Monday, a Wednesday or a Friday, they would not give you that job. They would tell you, I'm sorry, but you are not fit for this position. And this is the position we fall in with Philippe Clement. He cannot perform on a Saturday or a Sunday, but he can perform on a Thursday. Just make that make sense for me, please. You need to be good at the majority. You need to be good at beating the team that's put in front of you. Now, the team that's put in front of him the majority of the time is a Scottish football team, which is a class of football he just can't seem to get his head around.
So are you advocating, Jordan, that he goes?
Yes, I am, yeah.
So last night doesn't make a dent in that?
No, this buys him another 3 months, I'm afraid.
Well, it might only buy him another couple of days for some people.
Scott said it.
Pittodrie was a Wednesday night as well, wasn't it? Yeah. So now I'm all over the place with the days, but I obviously get the general point Jordan makes.
Scott said it, you know, it comes down to Celtic on December 15th, the Premier Sports Cup
again,
final.
Before that, you imagine, what's
That's
Monday
the
night?
Game, Gordon.
Of course
That's
it is. The game. But tune in on Monday night if Rangers lose in Perth on Sunday.
I fully understand, but and that would be catastrophic for them because there would have to be something very, very mysterious at play if Celtic don't beat Ross County at Celtic Park, and that therefore any points dropped in Perth are severely damaging. But nothing symbolises the rivalry like an Old Firm game.
And you're right, because it's illogical, because it's going to be much harder to beat Celtic than it is to beat St Johnstone.
They've been beating harder opposition on a Thursday night, though. They are better sides.
Jordan's calendar theory.
It's really confusing, because
if Rangers were capable of putting on last night's performance against Celtic, they could win the final.
Here's the other layer to this. This is why I said, though, you know, is it that simple about style in Europe suits, style domestically doesn't? Because let's just rewind to the day before the game. Philippe Clement disagreed with that theory. Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
The day before, he said that's not a thing, and he says the lack of,
it really is,
supposed style or whatever is because Cortez is missing and Matondo's missing and Hadji said these contractual issues. So
I don't think we can look too much into his interviews now, Gordon, to be honest.
That for me was the managerial type of answer that is saying to you, look, black is really white, and I want you to trust me that black is really white. You then just forget about what he said. He said in the clip that you played there, Gordon, about the fans should try to believe in the team. They're desperate to believe in the team, but they need evidence of their belief being justified. And they were appalling against Dundee United, particularly in the first half last weekend. Appalling. And then they go and score four goals against Nice. So the fans are desperate to believe in them.
Performance and consistency here. That's what I'm looking for.
Jordan, are you, I know you certainly don't sound won over, but are you at least heading in the right direction or a different direction in that you keep Hamza Egeman in the team, you know, you keep James Tavernier out of the team for now? Are things maybe heading in a better direction with some selections that have been made?
Well, yeah, I think that's definitely the way forward. Tav, I think he's more of a finisher than a starter. Dessers, he needs to be kept as far away from the team as possible. I think that was proven last night. I mean, Egerman, he's shown he can take his chance. He can score a goal. I think it was maybe his second goal when he was clear through on goal. I said to my friend, you know, if that was Dessers, he would have taken about 10 more touches, probably run past the goal and missed it.
I think physically he offers more as well, Egerman.
Yeah, definitely, Scott, definitely. And you see, when he gets the chance, it's probably an easier chance than both of Egerman's, and he misses it. That's it. Get him away from the team, and just we need to move on. I think he's finished now. But we need to remember, last night it wasn't a superb Nice team. We're not talking about this was a superb European class team. They had a lot of players out. The commentators were laughing at one point. It wasn't a top class team.
Now, I think they were unbeaten at home all season, though. I'm sure.
Yeah, but if the theory is that Rangers play better when they play a better class team, then we should be closer to Celtic. But Celtic run over the top of us every time they play us. So that theory kind of, to me, might work in Europe, but well, a better class team in Scotland, we just need to, okay, they're Scottish, better class. I just think we need to move on. The new CEO, hopefully he'll come in, he'll have maybe some new ideas, his eye on somebody, and it's a fresh start. But I think it's time. Plan to maybe look somewhere else, because Clement's just a bit of an enigma, just like Dessers.
Maybe they're just the opposite of Rangers, though, because you're right about that. And they're fifth in the French league, but they've not won any of their Europa League games. Yeah. Maybe they could just sort of merge the two together, and what a force in world football it would be.
Got to give credit for that.
I suppose Egerman, the kind of keeping Dessers out the team that Jordan wanted becomes easier this weekend, because Danilo's also available when he's not in the European squad. So we will see. Thank you to Jordan. Let me tell you about something quite exciting at this time of year.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win over £500,000.
The money just keeps going up and up and up. This week on Christmas Cash Countdown, we're paying out our biggest ever prize. And I know what you're thinking. The last one was the biggest ever prize, and the one before that was the biggest ever prize. £500,000 plus an extra 12 Ks for Christmas. Get it?
Oh,
12 days, yeah, 12 Ks. Yeah, see what we did there? Really clever. We've never paid out as much as this before. It is a guaranteed winner, and it could all be in your bank account ahead of next weekend. So enter right now for your chance to win £512,000. Text YES to 61025. You get 3-for-1 on your first entry. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate, and you can enter on our website for 250 as well, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close 5 p.m. next Friday. Just answer your phone, and the £512,000 would be yours, paid straight into your bank after the call, and it is a guaranteed winner. Someone will win the lot. If you want it to be you, make sure you text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, Scott Allen alongside him, waiting for your calls on whatever it is you fancy. Most of you so far wanting to discuss Rangers last night. Imagine you weren't quite sure what had happened in the last couple of months. You'd been in a different planet. You come back, you hear Rangers 1-4-1, but people are calling up and calling it confusing
And bizarre.
And
the third caller wants the manager out.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to celebrate last night because he just thinks it might buy the manager more time. What a strange turn of events it is. Anyway, let's switch focus to the other side of Glasgow's footballing rivalry. Martin is a Celtic fan. What's your point tonight, Martin?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
First of all, Hugh, that team you picked, I think it's a great team.
Yeah,
and I hope he does that, because I think it's a great idea.
Brendan should listen to me.
It's innovative, so thanks. So I want to talk about Engels, but before to get some context, I want to just mention something about Brendan Rodgers first, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Yeah, so you remember last year, the game everybody thought Celtic was going to lose against Rangers when Michael Beale was the manager? It was like, I think Scales was one of his first games in the first team, and NQO scored that remarkable goal. But what struck me was I was the same as every Celtic supporter. I was expecting the worst. And the camera panned, before the game started, the camera panned to Rodgers, and he was just standing smiling with his hands in his pockets. And I realised that's the difference between these guys and the rest. You know, he was calm and believed he was going to win, even though everybody else thought. So that told me that Rodgers is an elite manager. So that brings me on to Engels. So Engels isn't doing well these days, and a lot of Celtic supporters are unhappy with him for £11 million. But Rodgers, when I bought him, he tracked him for a long time. He isn't doing that well at the moment, but I think they'll at least get the money back, maybe more, because of the way he's designed for modern football. But I think my main point is he lacks personality. Like, nobody can identify with him. Now, if you look at Maeda, he's got a kind of quiet, kind of assassin. You've got Kyogo, who's kind of, everybody likes him because he's a nice guy. You've got Johnson's, a tough centre-back, right-back. But Engels doesn't seem to have any personality. So he seems to lack personality. I just wondered, has anybody else thought of that?
But that's something that evolves. He's been less than half a season here. And Brendan Rodgers made the point today that...
Let's hear it, shall we?
Yeah.
Go on then, just because it's perfectly valid argument that Martin raises. I don't know, but personalities are difficult. I can think of loads of players that are sort of quiet and don't have much personality.
The most important thing is personality on the pitch.
Well, maybe that's what Martin means is lacking.
Personality on the pitch is the most important thing.
Let's leave that to one side and hear from Brendan Rodgers, because Martin does bring it up. He says, Nicholas Kuhn and Paolo Bernardo show that people shouldn't doubt players too early. He says time and patience is needed to see the best of Arne Ingles.
It is a challenge now for anyone, but I think the most recent example of that would be Paolo Bernardo. It's exactly the same. If I remember back, highlighting Paolo and his performances this time last year, now he can't be cheered on loud enough when he enters onto the pitch. That's called development. It's called patience. It's called time. Arne's a fantastic young player, otherwise we wouldn't have brought him here. He doesn't set the price. He's come here to a big club to improve his game. I've got absolutely no doubt he will do that. I know it won't be the case, but I would hope that people will learn their lesson. Same people that were writing off Paolo and Nicholas Kuhn, and it'll be Arne Engels, it'll be someone else. Then you have to look and see and understand that development takes time. Some will hit the ground running and be fine and adapt perfect. But not everyone is like that, and especially a young player. So I've been really pleased since he's come in, because I know the future for him. He will improve, he will develop and get better. And we've seen it so many times.
Our caller came on Wednesday night and said, how do you feel about Nicholas Kuhn now? Having said he was okay. And I hold my hands up. I did say at a point in his Celtic career early on, he's okay. He's now exceptional. He's now a truly terrific player. I think Arne Engels has already shown that he is worth the money. In a Celtic jersey, some of his performances in the earlier part of the season were outstanding. So he has already shown his worth. He's having a bit of a run where he's not dominating the way fans think an £11 million player should dominate.
What do you think of that message, Martin, from your manager?
I think, yeah, I mean, I agree with, but my real point is not so much, I completely believe what Brendan Rodgers said, he will become a major player. I just think what I mean is, look at Mairi, he scored that goal on Tuesday, I think it was Wednesday night, and his reaction, you know, unlike him, he was kind of, you know, kind of primal scream type thing, but I've never seen that Engels respond or react to things. You know, that's what I meant by personality. He's, you know, I know Scott Allen said it's on the pitch, but I think people can't relate to him as a, you know, he doesn't respond to, he doesn't seem, he seems emotionless.
Martin's a deep thinker, isn't he? Because we had Brendan Rodgers with his body language in the game against Michael Beale, and I don't mind it. I just wonder if there's, I mean, is Arne Engels any different from any of them really in that regard?
No, I think, listen, for me, personality, I would always go personality on the pitch. I think the problem he's had is, I think a lot of fans thought he was going to be a direct replacement for Matt O'Reilly, when if you watch them closely, they are very different in terms of, for me, I feel like Engels is will be more dynamic, and under Brendan Rodgers, who has made players better over the years and the time he has been at Celtic, I think you will see that. For me, at this moment in time, I think he looks as if he might be feeling the pressure a little bit. I think there was a lot of times on Wednesday night where couldn't come inside the pitch, and if Matt O'Reilly is playing, Coon can then bounce the pass with Matt O'Reilly and he's back there. Engels was running into areas where he probably wouldn't receive the ball, and that just looked to me like he's obviously feeling a little bit of pressure just now. But he's, for me, he's at the right club with the right manager, who down the line I think we will see the real class.
See, I wonder though if there's a really sort of simple middle ground here, because how could you argue with what Brendan Rodgers is saying? Look at Nicholas Coon, look at, and there's a list as long as your arm. Stop writing people off straight away because they might turn out to be brilliant. That's fine if your sole focus is Arne Engels. Everybody would agree it is far too early to write off Arne Engels. What about though if you just make it purely about Paulo Bernardo?
Paulo Bernardo plays
and say he deserves a run in the team. Yeah. Let's not waste time. Let's not criticise Arne Engels. Yep. Arne Engels is only 21, and I'm sure he'll be fine, as Brendan Rodgers says. And anyone who is doubting him is gone too early, etc. But that to me seems very separate. Let's shift the argument and say Paulo Bernardo deserved to play. Okay, which one of them drops out? Well, it's Arne Engels. Yep. You know,
simple rule of thumb, a manager's obligation is to put the best 11, strongest 11 on the park. Again, to use the discussion we had about Igrimani, on Sunday, or Saturday rather, Paulo Bernardo is entitled to think he'll start against Ross County. And it would be a good thing, perhaps, for Arne Engels just to step away from that one game. They've got Aberdeen at Pittodrie, big, big match.
I wonder if that today, Brendan Rodgers, again, is another sort of hint that Arne Engels just stays in the team just now.
He could very much do that.
Because as soon as you do take him out, then it's all this, dropped and all this sort of stuff. Whereas actually, maybe we are making too much. Arne Engels isn't costing Celtic games. Celtic are winning all the time, things overall are actually pretty good. So you as well just keep him in.
I just wonder, and I do take your point, but I just wonder, with the Aberdeen game in mind, and Celtic, like Rangers, having a glut of matches to come before the new year, I just wonder if take him out the firing line tomorrow, but back in again for Pittodrie. And as I say, that would apply to many players. I think he could field a very strong team tomorrow, minus some of the top players, knowing that he has them behind him on the subs bench, should those who are brought in not rise to the occasion.
Yeah, for me, I do feel that Paulo Bernardo, the difference and the energy he brought to the side when he came on Wednesday, he definitely deserves his chance on Saturday. But that's not to say Arne Engels can't come on and affect the game from the bench, like lots of Celtic players have over the past 3 months. So for me, if it was me picking the team, I would have Paulo Bernardo on my side at this moment in time.
Somebody dig out the clip of Hugh Keevans after the Falkirk game saying 8 changes is too many. That's exactly the words he said. He's now suggesting it for this weekend. Thank you to Martin. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's try and finish the week on a high, because remember, every question that you listeners get right, we give £10 to Cash for Kids. So there's a sign ball, there's bragging rights, and there's a charitable aspect to this as well. 01419511025, lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 01419511025. So please do join in. We kicked off the show looking back on Rangers' 4-1 win away in Nice last night. It was called bizarre, it was called confusing, and that's by the Rangers fans, who are struggling to get to grips with the difference between domestic and European performances. If you've got a theory on it, then please do get them in. Just before the news there, we heard from Brendan Rodgers saying people need to learn their lesson. Don't get so carried away criticising Arne Engels when Nicholas Kuhn, Paulo Bernardo, players like that improved drastically over time at Celtic. So what do you think? Is it still time maybe for some changes this week? Because Celtic have had some big old games. They've rotated a bit at the back, but that midfield and forward line's largely been the same for the last five games or so. Would you do something different tomorrow or not? Do let us know. 01419511025. It's a big night for Scotland women at Easter Road against Finland in the first leg of their Euro playoff final. If you want to get your thoughts in there, you can, or any of the other talking points from this week or looking ahead. We'll do it after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. I did say there's a festive feel to the show now. We've got the Christmas tree. Scott Allen's come dressed as Jude Law from hit Christmas film The Holiday. And got a chocolate coin for Beat the Pundit now. Got a chocolate coin for Beat the Pundit. Do you like that? I was going to offer it to the, I was going to offer it to the winner. And then does it need to be sugar free for you? Would you manage it?
I could treat myself here.
You could treat yourself the night before the game. Anyway, we'll see how we get on with Christopher and Giffnock. How's it going, Christopher?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played this before?
I've not, no.
Right, okay. I'm hoping we can get a victory for you anyway, Christopher. Get the sign ball sent over to you. But you've got an extra bit of pressure on you tonight. I hope you feel comfortable with that, because during Mission Christmas, Cash for Kids, I want to say a big thanks to the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures, because they are giving £10 for every correct answer that the listener gets to Cash for Kids. You okay with that pressure?
That sounds good.
Good, good man. Right, what we'll do is toss the chocolate coin. Can I be really honest about the chocolate coin? It's pure symbolism.
Yeah.
It felt like a good idea, but it is the same on both sides,
yeah,
which is an issue. So I have taken the trouble to write H on the side. There's going to be heads. Just shattered the illusion. And it's tails. It's Scott Allen up against Christopher from Giffnock. So what we'll do is give Scott something else to listen to. You, Christopher, will have 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and you're welcome to pass and move on if you fancy, okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Right, let's do it then. Christopher and Giffnock, your 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' third goal last night?
Agamani.
What club did Lawrence Shanklin move to Hearts from?
Sasso.
Celtic's Kwon is currently on loan at which club?
Pass.
What club connects Andy Robertson, Mark Wilson and Billy Dodds?
Andy.
At what stadium does Scotland face Finland women tonight?
Easter Road.
Which two teams play in the Renfrewshire Derby?
Hello.
What Scottish club are nicknamed the Wasps?
Hello.
Okay, okay, let's bring them back. Scott Allen, can you hear us? Same set of questions if you're ready.
Yes, yes.
How's your form actually?
Nah, not
oh,
great.
Bottom. You're bottom of the pundits table, do you know that?
I've only done it
bottom
twice, so
four times.
How many wins? Three?
2-2.
2-2.
50% win rate.
Better at the teasers.
You're joint with Cammy down there on 50%. So anyway, don't mean to put you off. You ready, Scott? 30 yes. seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored Rangers third last night?
Again, man.
Which club did Lawrence Shanklin move to Hearts from?
Pass.
Celtic's Kwon is currently on loan at which club?
Aberdeen.
What club connects Andy Robertson, Mark Wilson and Billy Dodds?
Dundee United.
At what stadium does Scotland face Finland women tonight?
Pass. Easter Road.
Which two teams play in the Renfrewshire Derby?
St Mirren and Morton.
What Scottish club are nicknamed the Wasps?
Alloa.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Chris Boyd or Stevie Crawford?
Stevie Crawford.
Okay, Christopher, what's the verdict?
Don't know, it's too tight.
Talk me through that Easter Road answer.
Is it Easter Road?
Yeah.
So I get it, do I?
No.
You're kidding.
You always have to accept your first answer. But what just happened there?
I don't know.
Because when I 2 seconds before I said that they were playing tonight Easter Road, you were nodding away. You then clearly knew it. It was bizarre.
For Cash for Kids.
That was no, it's not your answers, it's Christopher's that count towards Cash for Kids. Anyway, let's go through them. Who scored Rangers third last night? It was Egerman. You both got it. One all and £10 to Cash for Kids. What club did Lawrence Shanklin move to Hearts from?
Beer Shot.
It is. He's good after the event, isn't he? Mr. Hindsight, yeah. This guy. One all. Celtic's Kwon is on loan at Hibs. Scott Allen goes 2-1 in front. What club connects Andy Robertson, Mark Wilson and Billy Dodds? Christopher, I just couldn't. The Twitter would batter me. You only said Dundee. You didn't say Dundee United. I couldn't possibly give you 3-1 to Scott Allen. However, Christopher did know Easter Road was Scotland against, I mean, so did you, but yeah, he didn't get out in time. So he pulls one back. The two teams that play in the Renfrewshire Derby, St Mirren Morton, Scott Allen gets it, 4-2 in front. The Wasps you both got are Alloa, so it's a 5-3 for Scott Allen. And Stevie Crawford has 25 Scotland caps. Chris Boyd has 18. It is Stevie Crawford. But still £30 to Cash for Kids, Christopher. We thank you for your contribution. Hard lines.
Go on next time,
eh? Better luck next time. Good man. That was Christopher from Giffnock on the line. Happy. There you go.
Take me off the bottom.
Well, will do. Yeah, absolutely.
Beer Shot and Hibs.
It could have been a vintage night for
who,
you actually.
Who goes bottom then?
Cammy Bell's on 50 as well. Played 1-2, lost 2. So yeah, got a bit of. And then Gordon DL's just above them. He's raging about this though, because he's, although no, he won last night, so that can't have been updated, can it? I don't know. Anyway, you're doing alright, Hugh. 80% win rate, yeah. So we can, I can't grumble at that too much. Right, so 1419511025. It is a big night, that you know, has been kind of international fever this last couple of months. But for Pedro Martinez Losa's side, going to Easter Road tonight, Finland, there's only, I think, 3 places between them in the rankings. It's fairly tight there. But when the games are this way around, when you've got home advantage first and you then need to go to Helsinki on Tuesday, there's obviously an onus to get that off to a good start.
Oh, for sure. You don't want to be going to Helsinki looking to claw something back.
It's also, Scott, you want to try and make these things a habit, don't you? We're seeing this with the men's team now. The women's team got there first, if you like, in the modern generation. Got to all Euros, got to a World Cup. I've missed the last couple of tournaments, so important to get back there and try and, again, make it a habit.
Yeah, of course. I think there is a lot of quality within that squad. Being the home game can be difficult, though. You'd expect Finland to obviously make it, as we're talking about low blocks and all these parting the bus, they might do that to frustrate them and then have a real go at Scotland in Helsinki. But I have full confidence in the players in that squad.
Yep, some players playing at a high level, so hopefully they can all step up tonight and do half the work, or more than half the work, heading over to Helsinki on Tuesday. So that game is at Easter Road, in case you hadn't heard, on Pete the Pundit. Right, 01419511025 is the number that you need. Why not give us a call right now? Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. He was talking about that mistake that Cameron Carter-Vickers made, and has he had to be picked up or anything over the last few days?
Yeah, it's just reinforcing. It's not so much him himself. It's one of those things. I said to Nicholas Kuhn, as long as he doesn't claim the assist, because he seems to be getting assists left, right and centre these days. So, just one of those things. We needed to get into shape earlier. That was the correction that we make on it. And listen, he's been a real colossal player for this club and will continue to be. He's his response in the game is actually very, very good. So just one of those things that happens in the game. And but his response and the team's response was very good.
People talk about a team needing leaders, and I thought Kasper Schmeichel's reaction to what happened was first class. You know, that, yep, bad mistake on the part of Cameron Carter-Vickers, playing a blind pass and the goalkeeper's not there. But Schmeichel getting them together immediately, you know, they don't just rely on Callum McGregor to lift the team. So it was an important moment in the game. Kasper Schmeichel coming out, just getting things calmed down again.
Yeah, for me, I think listen, it is a poor goal from a Celtic point of view. Brendan Rodgers touched on in terms of the positions that he was wanting the players to be in playing. That's the fact that it kind of goes both ways, because you want them to get the ball down quick and play and get that, especially against a team who were so good behind the ball when they lost it and had that pressing quality. I felt at the time Kasper Schmeichel is trying to make an angle for Nicholas Kuhn. But from the moment Kasper Schmeichel played the ball out, Carter Vickers didn't move. And it's like it comes back to him, and he still thinks Schmeichel's there, and he's the guy actually trying to help Kuhn. Carter Vickers maybe could have, but I think you got to, like Brendan Rodgers also said, the reaction in the game was fantastic, and as a team in general.
So you're sitting in the press box, you had like the best or worst, well, the best view of it unfolding, because you were just looking right down the barrel of, and like you say, when Kasper Schmeichel came out, you could just see, you could honestly see it all unfolding. The fact that Cameron Carter-Vickers didn't realise he had gone, it all kind of happened in slow motion. It was,
he's actually trying to help his teammate there by giving him an angle though, but the angle just wasn't quite there. Carter-Vickers obviously didn't expect him to be there.
Good line about the assist. Can assist.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Stephen, who's on. How are you, Stephen?
Yes, I'm very well.
What are you thinking tonight?
Oh,
Stephen, just quickly, can you turn your radio off in the background? The worst thing anybody needs is to hear us twice.
Yes, live radio.
I can now hear Stephen
saying from yes, Stephen's Steve, very well.
My head's gone here. Right, are you off now, Stephen?
No,
yes,
yeah,
good. Take it away. What are you thinking?
I guess about Els. He was bought as a defending midfielder, but he's getting played out of position.
Do you think so?
Aye, definitely. Aye. I think he's getting played out of position. Give the guy a couple of weeks. Well, look at Kuhn when we bought him. Was he very good? But look at him now.
Oh, listen, that's absolutely right. But he's just grown. If surely Celtic knew they had Callum McGregor, so Callum McGregor was going to play there all the time. Ingles was bought to play where he's playing, surely.
No, he was bought, right, look at his last club, right, he was bought as a defending, he was a defending midfielder, no but now he's getting played further up the park, right?
There's nothing at all defensive about Arne Engels. He was never bought for that purpose, never ever.
He's going to get time to be played where he's playing now.
No, but you're not listening.
He'll come good.
You're not listening. You're not listening. If you stop talking and listen... He was never a defensive midfield player. He never will be a defensive midfield player. And that's not what Celtic bought.
Because Stephen's like right there, that first bit of the sentence where he says he needs time. Nobody's really arguing with that. Brendan Rodgers has said as much. There's no way he was bought to play in Callum McGregor's position.
He's been bought to be a dynamic midfielder, get in the box, score goals, be creative, obviously, with losing Matt O'Reilly. So that's a strange one for me. As Hugh says, there's not really anything in his game that you suggest he would go and play in Callum McGregor's position.
Because what will happen there, Stephen? So the only way he'll play there is if Callum McGregor comes out of the team. That's not going to happen.
Better than Matt O'Reilly. And he's young, dynamic. The guy's full of promise. Oh, sorry if I swore there. He's full of promise. He'll be a legend.
I don't think he did swear. And by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking he's full of promise and will get better. But what we're saying is your initial point... He's not going to go and play in Callum McGregor's position in the team, is he?
No. What I was saying was, Seaman Celtic viewed him, right? Seaman Celtic bought him. He was more defensive. But see the last five, six games, he's been more forward.
I think we'll agree to disagree. I think at the core of that, no one is actually arguing. Brendan Rodgers puts up a perfectly good case. Even you're the most cynical knee-jerk person on this planet.
Yeah.
You would concede, because you've done it again with Nicholas Kuhn and others.
Yeah.
Time is fine. But what I don't think what will happen is that he'll move anywhere in the team.
No, not at all. I think he has already shown his quality and shown why Celtic paid £11 million to get him and made him the club's record transfer fee.
As Brendan Rodgers said, that, you know, he doesn't set the fee either. You know,
no,
and it's
of
like,
course not. But all players are lumbered with that.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as Adam Ida goes two games without scoring, the conversation revolves around, £9 million, and that's what you get. You know, I know that players are not responsible for what they cost, but as I say, it's now bordering on hysteria where Arne Engels is concerned. He's gone through a few games where his impact has not been as great as it was in the earlier part of the season, but he showed in the earlier part of the season that he is real quality. And the caller earlier who spoke about Brendan Rodgers' temperament, Arne Engels therefore has the best manager possible. Absolutely. Because Brendan Rodgers knows what's going on and knows there is no need for hysteria or panic. Engels will be fine.
Like we said, though, aside from Arne Engels and whether he's been judged too quickly or not, is tomorrow a perfect chance for someone like Paolo Bernardo to play? Does he, in isolation, deserve a start?
Yeah, for me, I think his performance has been really good. I felt he made a real difference on Wednesday night when he came on. He looked up for the fight, demanded the ball, took the ball in areas where, in the first half for me, Engels should have been receiving the ball or at least been an option for guys to bounce the ball with him. Unfortunate with his chance as well, where he chops the ball and just goes wide to the post. So for me, I would fully expect Bernardo to play, but I think he might go with Engels as well and maybe change something else.
Have a tatty out.
Yeah, I think obviously being away international break, played Tynecastle, obviously the game the other night. So I think you might see McGregor, Engels and Bernardo on the same team.
I think the day needs fresh impetus for Celtic because there are so many things going on. Ross County, with the greatest respect to them, aren't going to create an atmosphere inside Celtic Park that will be anything like electric. And Celtic are going to have to work to make the day go well for themselves. The incentive, as I keep on underlining, is that they win and go 14 points ahead of Rangers, ahead of the match that they have against Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Wednesday. So there's a lot in it for Celtic tomorrow, but there's an element of anti-climax about going from Bruges Champions League to Ross County Premiership. And Celtic have got to work for themselves tomorrow to underline the gap, the very obvious and huge gap in quality that exists between Celtic and Ross County.
Against Don Cowie, who was Brendan Rodgers' first ever signing as a manager. Did you know that?
Yeah. At Watford.
Yeah. So he said today. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You learn something new every day. Thank you very much to Stephen. 01419511025. More of your calls and a full time teaser coming up next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where you get your thinking caps on, fire up the email and send in a full time teaser. So you come up with a question, a bit of trivia, and see if you can catch out the pundits in roughly the last half an hour of the show. We do it every night, and tonight's the turn of Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen to tackle a question set by, if I've got my sheet somewhere in amongst all this, Dave and Lindsay. So thank you to Dave. Since 2000, can you name 8 Old Firm players who've scored 3 or more goals in a single Champions League campaign? Since 2000, can you name the 8 Old Firm players who've scored 3 or more goals in a single Champions League campaign?
2000, right, we'll go Chris Sutton.
Yes, did it 03, 04.
Just about to say it. Henrik Larsson.
Yep, 01, 02.
Michael Moles.
No.
Chris Commons.
No. Can I tell you why you're maybe just not quite as...
Peter Lovenkranz.
Yes. Okay, I'll save the... I was going to have a little... It's half clue, half dig at you both. I was going to do it, but I'll do it in a bit. Peter Lovenkranz, Chris Sutton, Henrik Larsson. Let's leave it there. It's a good question from Dave. And don't forget, if you want to take part in something similar, send your questions in fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Building up to kick off at
Easter Road.
Easter Road, Scott Allen. Scotland women against Finland tonight, not too far away from kickoff there. So anything that goes down in the early stages, we will let you know. Rangers fans, we could go back to your game last night if you fancy. Why not give us a call? We've spent a bit of time there previewing Celtic Ross County tomorrow. What else is tickling your fancy from the weekend? A lot of big games. So why not give us a shout and let us know what you are thinking. Let's hear from Tommy, who's in Greenock. How's it going, Tommy?
Aye, not bad. Not bad at all. Just for last night's game, really pleased with the result, but what can you say about Dessers? Come on,
come on, Tommy. Start with 10 seconds more of a positivity before you move on to the negative stuff.
Okay, they looked a bit better than they looked last week.
Is that it? Is that as good as it gets?
That's as much as I can give them.
Oh dear. Listen,
near out the woods yet.
It's Tommy's prerogative to call about what he wants. So go on, Dessers first, then we'll maybe swing him back round to some of the good stuff.
Well, Dessers has lost the public, unfortunately for him, because I'm sure he's an extremely honest player, doing his level best, but he does have this unfortunate habit of missing the ones he should score with, and he does require half a dozen chances in order to score one goal. We've been over the ground. Igamani, for me, should start against St Johnstone on Sunday, and Dessers should be on the bench. But sadly for him, he's in the same position as his manager. The people do not warm to him. And like Clement, the people would rather he wasn't there.
It was a very impressive miss, if that's the right phrase, Scott, where like,
that's a real miss.
Missed with proper conviction. If that makes sense. You know that way, like, I know,
it's not nice,
like, but sometimes you don't quite get the contact you want, you like, you scuff something. It's like a deliberate miss. I mean, obviously it's not, but like,
he's trying to really stick it away, but unfortunately the amount of chances that we see him miss like that, it's just so many.
I think even by his standards, like I say, that one was so much conviction.
It's a really poor finish, I think, especially the game coming on and Rangers are so comfortable at the time. You should be relaxed. It's not as if it's guilt-edged in terms of trying to get back into the game for an equaliser. They should have been a lot more comfortable coming onto the park, and there's no surprise for me. I think the amount of chances he needs.
However, though, Tommy, the worry generally about that stuff is, well, these misses are going to cost Rangers, and I'm not saying that they won't, but surely you're feeling a bit better now about the fact that perhaps Hamza Egerman can step in there.
Not really, because no? I think what you were saying earlier is European football's a different game for the Scottish League. I mean, the league's finished as far as we're concerned, it's over and done. But you still got to get it right. You know, you want to be able to go into next season be a style of play that suits the Scottish Premiership.
I do suppose that it is, even on an individual basis, Scott, look, it's not a bad thing. How could it possibly be a bad thing that he goes and scores those goals in Europe? But he has started games before as well. You know, he has started games domestically. He's played a chunk. It's not like that's the first.
Yeah, but he's starting it after, obviously, scoring the goals and putting the performance in. I can count back to a time in McAteer when I first came back to Scotland from England to play for Hibs, and for the first six games I was really poor, just didn't feel myself, wasn't confident. It took one game away to Livingston and it just clicked for me. I feel as a player sometimes you just have the moments in a season where it just clicks for you, and that's where your form comes from. I think personally for me, watch him, I think he does offer a lot more physicality. He likes the contact with defenders. I think he does that a lot better than what Dessers does. So he's got to get his chance now, and it's not just in for a one game out. I think you've got to give him a good run of games to really see what he can do and pick up the form that he produced last night.
I'm quite taken aback by the reaction of the Rangers fans on the programme tonight, and Tommy is indicative of the callers. I honestly thought this morning when I was looking back at the game and reading the newspaper reports, I honestly expected to come and deal with a whole load of callers who are saying, wait a minute, this might not be
a dead duck of a season. They've seen this story so many times this season, that's why that...
Not everyone's as knee-jerk as you, that's all it is.
Yeah.
People take more to...
I think 4-1 away from home, wow, fantastic. Great result. But I wouldn't like Rangers' situation to get any worse, because if this is the way it is now, and Philippe Clement drops any more points in the league, shudder to think what it will sound like.
Tell him why it's like this, Tommy.
Because Scott said, we've seen this movie 10 times over. It's just go from one disaster to another. You have one step forward and 10 steps back. I mean, you can imagine what the reaction will be on Sunday if we draw or loss. That's the 4-1 victory blown away.
What happens in the cup final? This intrigues me. What happens if you beat Celtic in the cup final?
Oh, everybody will celebrate, but it depends what style of football we use to beat them.
Do you think, you know? Really and truly, I've never known anyone to bother about the style of play so long as one beats the other.
Well, in an old firm game, probably, you're probably right there, but They're a hard watch, you. A really hard watch.
I get that. Like, as we had a, I don't think this fan would have been alone, far from it. I just remember playing a clip last night from fans over in Nice, and one of them said, "I'm just more confident tonight than I am for Sunday." That's just the mindset that's now the that Rangers are in, isn't it?
The only way you can break that mindset then,
Scottish football,
is to go to Perth on Sunday and score minimum 4 goals against St Johnstone. Yeah,
but what Tommy's saying is, like, nobody can sit here and say that Rangers can go and do that because we just haven't seen it. So this would need to be something different from the manager. Pick the same team who are full of confidence. Diamandé starts because he's obviously got a few goals last night. Diamandé scores a fantastic goal. That's what the fans want to see. They want to see coming off the back of a result on a Thursday, which was incredible, go into Sunday's game and show a level performance and go and dominate a game. That's what they haven't seen. So that's why nobody can get excited for the weekend's game.
What about James Tavernier? We spoke about the more obvious sort of impact that, you know, of a change definitely working, where Dessers comes out, Eggman goes in. How could you argue? I think Sterling assisted, what was it, the first or the second last night? Anyway, it felt like he was involved. Again, is it as cut and dry as the striking position? Does James Tavernier just stay out of the team for the time being, or is that one a bit more fluid?
The team has won 4-1 away to Nice. He's got to go with the same team. He's got to give that team who produced that performance last night a chance to grow.
The manager has given every indication now that James Tavernier is no longer assured of a starting place. You know, it just happens so often now. And I think it's the crossroads moment for James Tavernier. We'll see if he's still there when the month of January ends.
Yeah, I think James Tavernier will see the season out. I think he's obviously, service for Rangers has been fantastic in terms of assists and goals. Ultimately, there does come a shelf life to that. You get older and you maybe can't produce the same performances that you're used to seeing. And listen, a lot of Rangers fans had wanted that change and they've got it. And Rangers seem to have been finding a better performance from Dujan Stiller. And it's horses for courses. And especially at a club like Rangers, if you're not performing, someone else comes in and does well and he keeps his position. Simple as that.
Where are you and the captain now, Tommy? Oh, it's Tommy gone. Sounds like it. I was enjoying Tommy's company as well. He's away to throw darts at his Cyril Dessers poster that he had on his wall. Let's not worry about Tommy. We'll speak to him another time. Scotland just kicking off at Easter Road against Finland. Arthur Cummings in goal. Nicola Docherty, Sophie Howard, Sam Kerr, Lisa Evans, Jenna Clark, Kirsty Smith, Claire Elmsley, Martha Thomas, Erin Cuthbert, and the captain, Caroline Weir. The starting 11 for Pedro Martinez Losa. So hopefully they can get a fast start and set things up for that trip to Helsinki on Tuesday. Still time for you to call in on 01419511025 if you so fancy. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, just to elaborate on some of the stuff that we were saying there. The manager believes the victory does show the potential of the squad, including player of the match Hamza Eggman.
I hope that, and I know it's been a really difficult season in that way. Starting at Hampden, it created a lot of negativity from fans and a little bit toxic environment in that way, because everybody was disappointed and you have a lot of new players. Nobody knows their value. They say, why do we buy a young boy out of Morocco who don't have any experience, for example. So today, and also in some games before already with other players, people start to see the potential and why these decisions are made.
Let's hear a bit from Robin Proper as well, because this maybe really feeds into this discussion we were having about how can you do good things in Europe and not domestically. He says he may have misjudged how tough Scottish football would be, but remains confident he can adapt quickly.
Maybe I underestimated it a little bit. Of course, you know about Rangers, you know about how big the club is, but you don't know that much about the competition. And so, yeah, it takes some time. I played some good games, I played some not so good games. Yeah, I need to be on my level again and keep how you say that the highest level possible. And I think you see it in European games. A lot more of myself. I can be more I'm more related to the European games maybe than the Scottish Premier League. But I think I can adjust in that, and I need some time in that, and I give myself that time. So I want to adjust in that. Yeah, in the Premier League we need that bit of aggression more to score the goals, to keep a clean sheet, and we struggle that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you see in Europe, yeah. We can do that maybe much more, we are really good in it.
I would always admire a player's honesty, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah,
sometimes it's just the bit that you don't hear out loud, though. A player sort of admitting that they've underestimated the, you know, the standard or the style in Scotland, and saying that perhaps he is better suited to a European style.
There was always a fair bit of knee-jerk reaction stuff going on around proper, you know, scores an own goal on his debut, and no one was quite convinced by him. I think people were surprised to see him start the game last night. So he's just one of several Rangers players who now have to treat the win over Nice as a springboard. And if it's not a springboard, then they really do have a problem. You know, it's Ross County, St Johnstone, followed by Kilmarnock and Ross County, next three games. I mean, all bottom six clubs. If Rangers drop any more league points, then Philippe Clement is really up against it.
What do you make of those comments?
It's interesting. I remember having a conversation with Carol Starfelt a few years ago in a restaurant near where I lived, and he was speaking about his time when he first came to Celtic from Rubin Kazan, I'm sure it was. And he said that I think his debut game was Tynecastle away, and he said he'd headed the ball more times than basically the whole second part of the season in Russia, and he was so surprised at the physical aspect of it. So I can, both European style defenders and both maybe been taken by surprise by the physicality of the Scottish League.
Right, give us your calls, get them in, it's a good time to do so. 3.5 gone at Easter Road, still Scotland 0, Finland 0, 01419511025. What about this full-time teaser? I think there'll be lots of people shouting at the radio on this one. Since 2000, can you name the 8 Old Firm players who've scored 3 or more in a single Champions League campaign? Henrik Larsson, Chris Sutton and Peter Lovenkrantz.
Dashville.
Nope.
Was a stick on
Sean Maloney.
No, this is where you've got to,
Venegar Hessling.
You've got to get wiser, right? Why? There's always a reason that questions come around. The timing of this question. Why are we asking you it now? Why are we going back to 2000? Why this week? Why has Dave and Lindsay suddenly come up with this question? That's the way you should always start.
Because he's got too much time in his hands.
Yeah, again, you're not.
Not Venegar Hessling,
no. No. Why this week? Why would he come up with this question this week? That's what you should be asking yourself. It's always a good place to start.
Well, I'm finding it difficult to put myself inside Dave's head, frankly.
Has any Old Firm player perhaps scored in the Champions League this week? Well, oh, wow, this is a real struggle. We're being serious now. This is not some sort of, like,
well,
wind up.
Obviously they've scored 5 goals between themselves.
No, in the Champions League. Only one of them played in the Champions League. Who scored in the Champions League?
Maeda.
Thank you very much. That's Dyson Maeda's 3rd of the campaign, right. And we add them to the list.
You're looking further.
Great.
Back.
Brilliant. Okay. We'll get the rest of the answers after these.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas
with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
I told you, this is the 3rd mention. Scott Allen's come dressed as Jude Law from The Holiday tonight. It is very much the Christmas season, and for children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire, it is and should be one of the most exciting times of the year. However, every year on Mission Christmas, we get together with you to try and make sure that every child can get that excited feeling, because with food to buy and homes to heat and winter clothes to buy, so many families are struggling, and then Christmas treats just become a luxury. So no child should miss out, and hopefully you can help us make a difference by supporting Cash for Kids. We're going to hear from Morag from the charity, who explains why her sister Christine set up Made With Love and the struggles that they've faced since its establishment.
Christine realised in 2016 that families were not getting help during the summer holidays. 6 weeks of the summer holidays is a long time for families if they have if their children have been getting free school meals. So we had set up and we started running cafes in a pantry. And then during lockdown, we had to change the dynamics. And that's why we now give out vouchers. But now we give out vouchers, we can help more families this way. And it's more dignity to the families if they get a voucher and they can go to the shop and choose whatever they want to buy.
Yeah,
and
some,
they need.
In some parts of Glasgow in the West, as many as one in two children live in poverty. So we can't always make it this big magical day, but with your help, we can make it a different day for thousands of children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire. So we guarantee 100% of the funds raised go straight back to those that need it. Every single penny, it can make such a difference. If you go to Clyde1.com/mission, you can find out more. And that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Even Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here.
Are we? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
So we'll just keep this discussion going.
I think I'm back.
There you go.
It was probably better without me anyway, but we're here on 0141 951 1025. 12 gone, Scotland Finland in the women's Euro playoff final. Finland knocking it about well, Scott, you have to say. No real chances yet.
Yeah, they look really sharp, to be fair, causing Scotland a bit of problem. Scotland struggling to get a foothold in the game at the moment, but it's still early days, so see how the game plays out.
Right, you can get calls in, you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. We'll look ahead to tomorrow's action as well. Go on then. It's the derby in here, Hibs against Motherwell against Hibs, I should say. Scott Allen, Hibs really need a result. Motherwell disappointing in Dingwall last weekend. What are you thinking?
I can't call it at this moment in time. I think it was the way in Hibs got the equaliser, you would expect to get full confidence. But I said at the top of the show, the goalkeeping problem it has is a big concern for me.
Do you honestly think he's going to go back to Bursic having dropped him last week?
Yeah, I do.
But how does it work? It's not so much that I'm doubting you, just it feels like both are really far away from ideal situations. So Bursic's been really mistake ridden throughout the whole season. He makes one at Dens, that's a step too far, changes him for midweek. Goalkeeper comes in, he makes a mistake. Do you go straight back the way?
Yeah.
So why does Bursic get
Bursic, that's why
so
Bursic's
long?
Been the number one. I think he gives him his chance, should do better for the first goal, even maybe the third for me. I think Bursic maybe reacts better than that. But like I said, it's the quality between the two of them isn't great, but I think he definitely goes back to Bursic.
David Gray is in a position whereby his calls will determine his future. So whatever he does, it's down to him. But I do think that they have an incentive. They have the 3-3 draw with Aberdeen to prove that they are not bottlers, which are what they're always been accused of being. And they can go above Hearts in the league table and put the pressure all on Hearts Sunday at home to Aberdeen.
Any more on the teaser quickly?
Samaras.
Yes. Three to get. No.
Okay.
Paul's and Dunfermline. We'll need to make it quick, Paul. I didn't realise how late it was. That's my fault. What's your point tonight?
No, it was just I was listening back to the night there when I heard the Dazzler making his point about the Bruce had done their homework. It was quite easy to see the nullified Celtic. Now, I didn't believe into the hype of when Celtic done really well against Leipzig. I thought, you know, the passing stats were off the park. We done extremely well. But I just had a funny feeling, though, that the Brews are a really good side and this might have happened. Now, Greg Taylor, I think, at this level looks out of his depth. Now, not to say that everyone didn't have a great game, because they never, but when they made the changes, I thought Celtic finished the game quite strongly. But just moving forward, I think, would you say that Celtic are looking a bit more like they've learned their lessons at this level? I feel like they look a bit more mature. So when they do actually go 1-0 down, and like the games like in the past, they would have lost them. But now they seem to have figure the opposition out a bit more.
First of all, with regard to Greg Taylor, Greg Taylor is the go-to guy for grief where a lot of Celtic supporters are concerned. I think he's been a a very, very good signing for Celtic. He's taken part in so many trophy wins. He's played his part. He's a decent player. And I just think that he is the go-to guy. If anything goes wrong, it's Greg Taylor's fault.
I was there working the other night, Scott, and so were you. We spoke about this off air. What I'll say, I think any fan's entitled to think what they like about a player and whether they're good or bad. No one cares what I think on that. What I will say, just as a human experience, someone who is there, like I say, working or neutral, I was surprised at the level of criticism Greg Taylor gets. It kind of shocked me in the stadium. Again, up to other people if they think it's deserved or not, but it shocked me.
Yeah, well, we obviously spoke when we were off for the break. I had said that to you. I felt the level of scrutiny that he gets was a lot more than which I expected. I think he didn't have a particularly great game. Either did a lot of the players in the first half. Yes, they responded. Alex Faye came on at the same time as Bernardo in substitutions at that time when Celtic were finding their way back into the game. Can be a springboard and make the performance that Greg Taylor had put in look a lot worse than it actually was. They are different type of players. I think if you look at Greg Taylor's performance against Leipzig, it was fantastic. He hits a byline, gets an assist for Nicholas Koonin, one of the goals. So for me, yeah, I do think he comes under a lot of scrutiny, and unfairly, in my opinion. I think he didn't have a great game, but it wasn't by far.
Because there was times when, you know, made a mistake or whatever, Hugh, but there was one, I think he just like headered it back up the line in a completely normal fashion that you would expect anyone to do. Yeah. And fans round about me started moaning and shouting things, and I genuinely just remember thinking, what did I miss there? That was not worth this reaction.
Yeah, I read a wonderful quote from someone who was in the press box, and in his match report on Celtic, he reported on what a fan said as the ball landed at Maeda's feet, and it could have been me. It was a fantastic misrepresentation of what was going on, and he called Daizen Maeda by a name that I couldn't possibly repeat here, just as he was sticking the ball in the net to give Celtic the equaliser. So, as I say, Greg Taylor, for me, good. But interesting today that Barcelona have said that Alex Vai will be staying at Celtic. So I expect him to play tomorrow.
I think it's a really good debate, Paul, and I wish we could do it longer. Maybe give us a call back sometime, because we are almost out of time. Still goalless Scotland-Finland in the women's qualifier. Right, can you name 8 players for the Old Firm since 2000 who've scored 3 or more goals in a single Champions League campaign? Daizen Maeda now has done it. Samaras, Lovenkrantz, Sutton and Larsson.
Alberts?
Nope.
Chris Boyd?
Nope. Think Brendan Rodgers' first spell.
Dembele.
Yep, it's a Dembele, 16-17. They got a double against Man City.
Yep. Give us the next era.
Come on. Any question that involves Celtic and Rangers, Rangers and Celtic and goal
Kenny
scorers.
Miller.
Wow.
How helpful is it when you've played for both? So I think that was Celtic, wasn't it? 06, 07, yeah. Benfica. And so anyway, I might be wrong, but he's in there. And the last one, this might surprise you because he's nowhere near as much of a goal scorer as the others, but he
Nakamura
also managed Rangers.
Nice. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst did
PSV
it. 2001. Scotland have threatened for the, well, I say threat, not really actually, but almost their own goal for Scotland, but still goalless there. And we are back tomorrow. In fact, Andrew McLean is going to look after the guys. Good luck to him. Keeping on top of those three on a Saturday afternoon. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel will be here. Kelty away to Elgin in the Scottish Cup.
Elgin in the Scottish.
Lovely. Come on the bankies. Come
lovely
on the bankies.
Trip for you. The team are here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Make sure you join them, and the GBX is up next.